At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander and Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, ready to do guessing lines. Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, is here as well. Kelly, good morning, sir. How are you? You good?
Yeah, $20 I can borrow.
why'd you lose 20?
It was a rough weekend.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Well, okay, we'll get into all that.
Bloodbath.
Bloodbath for you? We got to get into all that. First, before we do anything, I just want to shout out producer number 3, Jorge Mondaca. For those who have listened to this show for many years, affectionately known as Georgie Bueno. His biggest contribution to this show when he was producer, besides, you know, walking up to the desk after every segment, grandstanding, making sure everything was okay and that he was running the show, was that he used to assess the passion of World Cup sides singing their respective national anthems, and by virtue of his passion meter, would pick his winner. England is beating Iran 6-1. Iran refused to sing their national anthem this morning based on events going on in that country in protest.
Lock.
So Georgie Bueno probably made himself a healthy amount of money this morning. Shout out to Jorge Mondaca. Is that okay? Are we allowed to do that? Shout out to the previous producers?
Yeah, sure.
While we're at it, why don't we shout out? No, we'll just keep it at him. We'll just keep it at Georgie Bueno.
How much time do we have?
That's right. Too many producers to go there.
It's been a while since Jorge's been here.
Y'all want to do some guessing lines?
Let's do it.
Intro. Guessing lines. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry you don't have your earpiece in so you can hear the drama of this intro for you.
Maybe on the next version of this show.
Okay. Chris Andrews, ladies and gentlemen, my mishpucha, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook here on the tip of the strip. How are you? How was your weekend?
Fair. It was okay. Saturday was okay. Everybody thought we won so big on Saturday. Until no, we actually needed Ohio State. We needed Michigan. You know, so Saturday was okay, not as great as I'd hoped. And yesterday, we ground out a very small profit for the day.
We don't typically talk college football on Mondays because we're doing guessing lines. For those familiar with this show, a tribute to the old Stardust show of the same ilk where I don't know the lines. We guess them for next week. Chrissy tells us what he's going to put up at the end of the show, and hopefully we extract some value in the process. But I can't wait to talk about something I'll call algorithmic exploitation tomorrow on the show, which is that South Carolina game was just a boon if you were paying attention. I mean, it was just because of the pre-flop number, right? And so the end games are just derivative of that, and the opportunities to exploit that were just over and over and over in that game.
before we go further, yeah. we always put out just a prop bet, highest scoring team Saturday, highest scoring team on Sunday. Well, I had South Carolina 250-1.
Anybody bet it?
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. I mean, not for much. I mean, we've lost a little bit on it, not much. It's a great prop. And I always say, you should really bet one of the long shots, not to get too mathematical right now, but that Taleb, who had the Black Swan events, wrote the book The Black Swan.
Yep.
He describes it, how you have like the bell-shaped curve. The tails are thicker than people imagine.
Yes.
The low, the high. And again, I was thinking, I can mention his name because he's a friend of mine. And he threw the whole world. When Zach White bet that the Rams would have exactly three in that one Super Bowl, we lost $100,000 on that prop. And Zach's actually a really good guy. And Michael Gaughan was happy as could be because we blow $100,000 and we had so much publicity on that thing. But there's an example of the fat tails on the bell shaped curve. So if you're betting those, you really should pick one of the long shots and just, hope you got to get really lucky. But, got to pick the right one.
Zach's won a better two in his day.
Zach is a very sharp better.
He is indeed. All right, so here's the deal. Let's start with we're going to guess Week 12 lines in the NFL, but in the process, we look back at everything that happened in Week 11. And let me just say this. The overarching headline, at least for those of us, and Kelly, you could jump in on this as well, is for 9 weeks of the NFL season, things were going pretty swimmingly well over here.
Yeah.
And most of the lines that we thought were way out of whack, the result ended up sort of corroborating. Not the last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks, Seattle played Tampa Bay. It was like, oh my God, I can't believe Seattle's not favored. Tampa Bay got home. Then this week, it was the Minnesota-Dallas game where we were all incredulous that Dallas was the slight favorite. And well, that turned out
we were right.
To be justified.
The book's numbers was way off. It was way off, Gil.
Way off.
Should have been Cowboys 8.5.
So the lesson in all of us, the NFL season has a way of humbling you, even if you're able to go on a nice little stretch. So we'll have at it here. Obviously, Thanksgiving with three games on Thursday. So why don't we start there?
Up Thursday, early game there. Bills at Lions, 12:30 Eastern.
All right, the Bills with all that absolute, those shenanigans about will the game get moved? Oh, it is getting moved. Will Buffalo get out of Buffalo? Will the Bills get out of Buffalo? Oh, they finally did, much of the help of shoveling of apparently fan bases. That's the that's how the legend has it. The Bills do get out of there. They end up beating the Browns 31-23. The Bills scored on 8 of their 10 drives in this game, excluding kneel downs. So they did score 2 touchdowns, 6 field goals, 8 of 10 drives. But they didn't start like they had made the trip, right? Like they sort of got there. It felt like the travel hurt them early. They were outgained 145-15 in the first quarter. They were only down 7-3, though. And by halftime, they somehow led 13-10, despite being outgained 210-134 and out time of possession 19-20-10-40. Josh Allen ended up 18-27 for 197, 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. Matt Milano on defense, 12 tackles, a sack, a fumble recovery. He was everywhere. And although in the end they were outgained slightly, 396-357, as we said, most of that was in the first quarter. And on the ground, they actually had the distinct advantage over the Browns, 171-80. They win it 31-23, cover on the close anyway. In the process, depends where you got that number, whether you got the win on the number or not. And then there's Detroit, Buffalo at Detroit, the early Thanksgiving game. Of course, traditional Thanksgiving start in Detroit. Detroit gets it done against the Giants. They roll the Giants, and we knew that the Giants smoke and mirror show would end. We went through a whole analytics from Bill Barnwell, how it corroborated how the Giants have been so lucky. I mean, anybody watching them knew that they were, but even the numbers backing it up. Detroit gets it done. It's the fifth game this season for the Lions with 30-plus points. Jared Goff ended up 17-26 for 165. No touchdowns, no picks, was not sacked. Jamal Williams, 17-64 with 3 touchdowns. He leads the NFL in touchdowns. Hutchinson on defense, Aiden Hutchinson, interception and a fumble recovery. Detroit was outgained 413-325, but again, rushing advantage, 160-89, and they were plus 3 in turnovers, which is really the only stat that you need. But we knew the Giants' luck would run out eventually, specifically in the turnover department, and there it was. The Lions with their third win in a row, the longest winning streak in the NFC.
They are they're a tough team to figure out.
They are a tough team to figure out.
It feels like that offense should look kind of like it did yesterday almost every week, but it doesn't. And
We knew the
Giants step back was coming at some point. I didn't think it was coming yesterday.
I'll say Buffalo -7 on the road at Detroit on Thanksgiving morning.
You are a tad light. My numbers, my power ratings come to the Bills 8. It's 9, 9.5. I even see a 10 out there.
Really?
I'm a little low. Josh Allen still does not look 100% right to me.
Sure
does. And I think this is a pretty live dog here. I am going to open 9 because, like I said, I see, 9 is like the low watermark. I see 9.5, a couple 9.5s. I even see some 10s. I see one 10, some 10 with some juice on the dog. So I'm going to open 9. I'm going to be a little low here. I was laughing when I was making numbers. I was like, most of my 43 years in this business, Thanksgiving, I've spent rooting for the Lions and rooting against the Cowboys. And ask me how that's gone over the years. But this is going to be probably one more, at least for the first game. I'll probably be rooting for Detroit. But I'm telling you, I don't think Josh Allen is 100%. He looks a little bit off of what he was 2-3 weeks ago.
So what are you posting? If that got to 10,
I'm open 9.
I would absolutely
be
playing
there's 10s
the
out there, my friend.
I'll take the Lions on that.
I would agree with you.
All right, next on Thanksgiving.
Next up, Giants at Cowboys, 4:30 Eastern.
All right, we got to have a whole Survivor conversation because of the Bills and the Giants and all this, but we'll get to it after the break. But the Giants are at Dallas. Giants, as we mentioned, lose to Detroit. They had a 4th-and-1 of the Detroit 49 with 5:54 left in the first quarter. They were down 3-0. They went for it and converted Breida for 5. 6 plays later, Jones in from 3. And it was 6-3 Giants, but they missed the PAT. The point of that was it was their last points till the fourth quarter. Down 24-6, 4th-and-5 of the Detroit 40 with 7:34 left in the third quarter. Jones was picked by Kirby Joseph. And that, though it didn't lead directly to any points, sort of symbolized the game for the Giants. Jones ended up 27-44 for 341, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. He was sacked twice, 7 carries for 50 yards and a touchdown. He had 2 total interceptions the first 9 games. Well, he had 2 in this one alone. Saquon, 15-22. His longest carry was 4 yards. Wandale Robinson, 9 catches for 100. And again, the Giants were -3 in turnovers. And then the Cowboys, which we'll get into more when we talk about the Vikings after the break. But the Cowboys, with their largest margin in a road win in the history of the franchise, you believe that? 37-point win, 40-3 over the Vikings. Dallas was everywhere. They scored on their first 7 possessions, 4 touchdowns, 3 field goals. They sacked Kirk Cousins 7 times. By the way, the Cowboys D has 42 on the year, the most through 10 games in the NFL since the 2000 Saints. Third play from scrimmage, Parsons strip sack Cousins. It was recovered by Dorrance Armstrong at the Minnesota 27. Vikings held the Cowboys to a Mahert 27-yard field goal, 3-0. But that, ladies and gentlemen, was a portent of things to come. Prescott ended up 22 of 25 for 276, only 3 incompletes, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He wasn't sacked. Pollard 15 for 80 on the ground, 6 for 109, 2 touchdowns receiving. They held the Vikings to 1 of 11 on third downs. A 458 to 183 advantage in total yards and a 37-24 to 22-36 in time of possession. Just destroyed them. I'll say Dallas. I mean, you know how I feel about the Giants. I'll say Dallas -10.5. And these are 2-7-3 teams. That's what I think it should be.
Well, you're a little high. My numbers come to Dallas 9.5. And I see it as low as 7. I'm not sure that's a live number.
Ooh.
And as high as 9. I'm going to go with the 9. But I do want to throw a little caveat out there. And as I was making the numbers, I'm thinking about my Uncle Jack, my dear departed Uncle Jack. He's always telling me, in the NFL, nobody's as good as they looked last week. Nobody's as bad as they looked last week. And, the Giants, they have been with smoke and mirrors. But they have been okay. They've, been all right. And Dallas, probably not as good as they showed last week.
We'll come back. Looking for value. Guessing lines, week 12 in the NFL. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Final score, England 6, Iran 2. Iran getting the PK in the 103rd minute. So for those of you who had the in-game under 5.5, then 6.5, then 7.5, it's the final insult. 6-2, England. Where are we watching the USA game? Is there a pub that we can go to watch this today?
I'm sure there is.
Or is
I'll be watching it right here as I produce big bets later.
That's right. Or is the synonym for a pub in this town sportsbook? Just go watch it at any sportsbook.
There's a couple good English pubs here in town.
Well, the drinking part gets lost on me, but I guess I just want to be in the experience of it. Let me just say a couple things. One, if there was no such thing as betting, how unwatchable was the NFL yesterday? Like, was there a game? I mean, because I'll have like a soliloquy on most of these games. Yeah. I don't have one.
Chargers-Chiefs.
Chargers-Chiefs was great.
Chargers-Chiefs.
That ended up being great.
Other than that, I'm struggling to think of one.
I mean, there's things to talk about at the ends of games, but none of them were classics. Let's put it that way. And then about Survivor, let me just say this, because, you know, we just talked about how the Cowboys line is longer than who has the bigger line, the Cowboys or the Bills on Thanksgiving? What did we just say? What did you post as the bigger line?
The Bills.
They're both the same, 9. I'm going to open both.
They're both 9.
Yeah.
And so everybody was saving the Bills specifically for Thanksgiving and Survivor. Circa Survivor now, from 6,133 entries, was 86 before this week started. It is now 74 out of 6,133. Intrinsic, by the way, 15 people have the Niners tonight. The intrinsic value, if the Niners do win, $82,878 for each of the remaining 74 entries. But I guess I just wanted to make the point that everybody was, you know, the 12 people that went out this week, three of them had the Packers Thursday night against Tennessee, and 9 of them had the Giants.
You know, Detroit hasn't won a whole lot of games this year.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We do a Survivor segment. Kelly and I, and we had like the 6, you know, top favorites, and we talked about them. I think if we extended it to 10, the Giants wouldn't even made the list for me this past week.
I told you during the break, the whole world knew the Giants were going to lose yesterday.
Oh, based on your bets?
Yeah, we had big steam on the Detroit yesterday.
I guess my point of that was how many people who were like killing people for not saving the Bills, of those 12 that lost, were saving the Bills so staunchly for Thanksgiving that it ended up ruining them beforehand, when the Bills weren't even by far the biggest favorite on the board in the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a 74, and good for congratulations to those 74, because, man, is it a minefield. Good on them. Can't wait to follow it the rest of the way. So 74, well, we think, we'll see if the Niners win tonight, 74 will have made it to Thanksgiving. But stay tuned tonight. Any plays on tonight's game, Kelly? Anything? San Francisco and Arizona in Mexico City, where it appears that Colt McCoy is your starting quarterback.
Yeah, that number up to 10.
It zoomed up from last night. When I left last night, it was 8. I saw some 9s last night, and then now, as of this morning, it's 10. And, I mean, we need the dog pretty good, I can tell you that.
I did make a, you know, after the Niners Viking went down in teasers with my Vikings, I did do a crossboard about a money line parlay Celtics and 49ers tonight.
Okay, well, wish you. I have nothing. I'm gonna in game it as always. See how the elevation affects.
Yes.
Either club.
That's always interesting to watch. I will have my eye on that as well.
43.5, the total in that game. Let's go to the third and final game on Thanksgiving.
8:20 Eastern, Patriots and Vikings.
The 6-4 Patriots, after beating the Jets yesterday, 10-3, and Minnesota now falling to 8-2. New England and the Jets, it was a 0-0 game. 4th-and-1 for New England at the New York Jets 6 to start the second quarter, and Bill Belichick decided to kick the field goal to go up 3-0. And that turned out to be a pretty smart move at that time. Things we'll forget in terms of choices of a game. You needed the points in that low-scoring game. 6 punts and 11 first downs collectively for both teams in the first half. 6 punts and 11 first downs. New England missed 2 field goal attempts along the way. Nick Folk did, uncharacteristic, but swirling winds. 3-3 game, 4th-and-3 at the New York Jets 36. 13 seconds left in the third quarter. Patriots went for it and failed. Ramondre Stevenson, no gain. Mac Jones ended up 23 of 27 for 246. No touchdowns, no picks, sacked 6 times. 6 times he was sacked. Patriots offensive line was getting murdered by that Jets D. They held the Jets to 6 first downs, 103 total yards, 9 pass completions, and 10 punts did the Patriots defense in this game. Matthew Judon, 13 sacks rather on the year, the most by any player under Bill Belichick. He had 1.5 yesterday. But here's where the game came to. We all know it. 26 seconds left, 3-3 game. Braden Mann punts for the Jets. And instead of punting it out of bounds, they punt it to Marcus Jones, who takes it 84 yards to the hizzy. 10-3 with 9 seconds left in the game. Cannot believe it. For those of us who had the Jets, it's one of those things where we had no business winning this game against the number. And then we had no business losing it. And then we lost it.
Brutal.
Mac Wilson Sr. blatantly blocking Justin Hardy in the back. No call. The NFL office is saying, no, he approached him from the side. Sorry.
Upon review, I saw that at the time. I wanted it to be a touchdown just because 3 was such a bad number for us. And I could see, of course, he'd go for the field goal.
Patriots win it 10-3. And then Minnesota, we talked about their worst home loss. We talked about the Dallas superlatives. It was Minnesota's worst home loss since 1963. 37-point loss. Cousins 12 of 23 for 105. No touchdowns, no pick. Again, he was sacked 7 times, twice by Parsons, twice by Dorrance Armstrong. NFL high 5th such game for Micah Parsons, meaning 2 sacks or more. 5 times this year for Micah. Also forced a fumble. And again, the Vikings 1 of 11 on third down, 458 to 183 disadvantage in total yards. They're 8-2, the Vikings are, and have a minus 2-point differential on the season. That is almost impossible.
Almost, yeah.
By the way, by contrast, the Jaguars are 3-7 and have a plus 11-point differential. That's why this league is ridiculous. And we're betting it. We're trying to beat it. 9 weeks went well, 2 weeks not so much. I'll say Minnesota minus 4.
Oh, we might have an I like your number better.
Ooh.
My numbers came to 3, Minnesota 3. I see it 3, some 3 with juice on the dog, a couple of 2.5s with some fairly heavy juice on the favorite. My numbers do come to 3, but the more I looked at this game, kind of like Minnesota. Again, to go back to what I said about the last game, no team's as bad as they looked the week before or as good as they looked the week before. Minnesota's not as bad as they looked yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't think New England's a very good team.
I don't either.
And Mac Jones, I mean, Kirk Cousins, and I didn't run the QBRs before the games yesterday, but he really dropped like way down. His QBR was 14 point something yesterday, which is a bit of an aberration for the way he's played this year. Where Jones, he's like in the 20s. That's exactly what he is. I'm sorry.
I'm with you.
Like I said, I think some money might show on New England this year because it's Belichick and they won, and Minnesota looked so bad. But I kind of like Minnesota a little bit in this game. Even though my numbers come to 3, and that's what I'm going to open it, I kind of favor Minnesota.
I started getting the Kirk Cousins hater text yesterday. See, he is who we thought he was. A couple big injuries that we need to keep in mind on Thanksgiving for both the Lions and the Vikings.
Yeah, Christian Darrisaw has been ruled out left tackle for the Vikings. That is, I don't want to say that's where the game swung yesterday because the Vikings were already getting crushed, but that pass rush was getting home no problems after he left the game for the Vikings yesterday. And then Jeff Okuda also expected to miss Thursday's game with a concussion on the Lions side.
Ooh, that is noteworthy. Let's squeeze one in early Sunday morning.
Buccaneers at Browns.
So Buccaneers idle this week. They're 5-5 atop the NFC South at 5-5. And then Cleveland fell to 3-7. We have one more week of Jacoby Brissett. Cleveland, as we talked about, losing to the Bills in that game that was moved from Buffalo to Detroit. Cleveland's lost 6 of 7 now since a 2-1 start. They've allowed 30-plus points in 5 games this season. That's the most in the NFL. They had a 4th-and-1 at the Buffalo 27 with 6:54 left in the third quarter, down 16-10. Could have kicked a field goal there. They went for the sneak. It failed, and that was kind of the portent of things to come. Buffalo just ran away with it at the end after that. Brissett ended up 28-41 for 324. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. He did lose a fumble. Cooper 8 for 113 and 2 touchdowns, but none of that mattered in Cleveland's loss. Tampa Bay minus three on the road, right? Can't be anything else.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, like a blanket everywhere. My numbers come a little higher, four. And I'm not sure if Tampa Bay has finally turned around. I think maybe, you know, that's about as far as I can go. Maybe they have. But the Browns look like they've really kind of fallen into a pit. You know, what do you say? They've lost six of seven.
Six of seven.
And I like Jacoby Brissett. And actually, his QBR yesterday was really pretty good, 63 or something.
Always
like
liked
that.
Him. Always thought he was you know, murdered by people unfairly.
Yeah, I like Jacoby Brissett, but I don't like the rest of the team right now, the way they're playing. Yeah, I'm going to open three just because I don't like to mess with a three too much. But I kind of like Tampa Bay here a little bit. I think that there's a chance that they have turned some things around.
I do not think I will be involved in that game at all. That's my my prediction for that.
A little
game.
Scary with the Jacoby Brissett YOLO game, right?
That's
you know you're done.
That's right. What do I have to? What are they going to do? Fire me? More guessing lines next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You don't have to wait until after Turkey Day to score a Black Friday deal with VSiN. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. How about that? With VSiN Pro Access, you get a daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive daily betting reports, plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. The VSiN store is a great place to shop for VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, it's a limited time Black Friday offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly, you culling everybody's VSiN store order?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got a list going. It's real long.
He's got nothing.
I got nothing.
He's got nothing. Come on, man.
We got nine motorcycles.
Nine motorcycles. In, right? That's right. I'm buying nine motorcycles for the group. Oh, I just wanted to say something because we started out the show by saying how, you know, 9 weeks of the NFL went swimmingly well, and then week 10 and 11, not so much. And, in fact, the games that we were incredulous about, you know, the wrong team being favored, well, we weren't corroborated on those either. Again, after 9 weeks, the NFL has a way of humbling us. And we like to be super transparent about our wins and losses here. I find it fascinating. We were just talking off air, and I think I want to bring this up. So Right Angle Sports was on the show on Friday, and they moved a line, a total in college basketball, down like 5 points. And the result was the game went way over. And, you know, I want to juxtapose this against Crack comes in here every Thursday, and one of the things that he often says is, oh, my prop guy, Jimmy's going to be mad at me. All these guys are mad at me because we say too much on the air and we give away too much. And Crack's philosophy is always like, he goes, don't worry, Jimmy the prop guy or anybody else. Most people aren't listening anyway. Most people aren't going to pay heed to the advice, what he means anyway. They're listening, but they're not going to pay heed to the advice. And the Right Angle Sports thing was really a reminder of that for me, which is these guys are unbelievable lifetime, right? Unbelievable lifetime. You as a bookmaker even pay attention to what they're betting.
Damn right I do, yeah.
Okay. So they you know, is a loss. And okay, didn't have a chance. It's amazing the same idiots, right? The same three or four, and there's no other way to say it, right? Yeah. Idiots who go on Twitter, and, oh, you see, these guys are so terrible. What was just, and you're just like, you'll never learn. It's what Crack's talking about.
Yeah.
You'll never learn. Like, how can you be so, does it, Are you really that short-sighted, or do you need that moment to feel good about yourself, even though you have nothing to do with it? Like, it's a fascinating reflection. Again, sports betting is a reflection of the human condition, and in those moments, I'm always reminded. I was like, yeah, some people will never learn. Greg's right.
Some people, they I don't want to get into last night. I had a couple of events. What the hell we're talking about? I go, Patrick Everson comes in every week, you know, about 3:30 or so. Who do we need on the Sunday night game? How'd the day go? Blah, blah, blah. Same. Anyway, the number goes, we open Kansas City 7. Got down to 4.5. You're a fairly intelligent guy. Wouldn't that indicate that I probably need the favorite in that game? So I say that, and these guys are calling smokescreen BS. Like, to what end? What am I gaining out of this? And I have to tell the guy, and I'll say it again. I think he follows me, actually. He probably might be listening. He went from 7 to 4.5. A reasonably intelligent sixth grader could come up with, oh, he must need the team that he opened 7. Yeah. No, this guy said it was a smokescreen. I mean, I'm not going to show him my charts. Yeah, exactly.
It's just
and the money line opened from +250 because he said, well, you got teasers and all. Money line opened +250. I closed it, I think, +190. Pretty big move. You think I need the favorite? You think I need the dog? What do you think? You know, where are you going with this?
It is just a reminder that, especially for this show, like the listeners of this show, 98% are awesome. But there's always going to be a fringe where it's just like, it doesn't matter.
No.
It just doesn't matter.
And again, you wonder why the bookmakers wind up with the money, because that's the guys out there betting.
You wonder why they keep building casinos.
We try to educate the public. And really, an educated public is really better for the long-term business. Yeah. That's why I don't mind doing this.
Next early window on Sunday, Kelly.
1 Eastern, Bengals at Titans.
All right, the Bengals beat the Steelers, and I don't know, was the final score indicative of the dom? I mean, well, it ended up being 7 points because the Steelers got a backdoor touchdown, even though it didn't affect the point spread in the end. So 37-30. I mean, it was nip and tuck for a lot of this game. Cincinnati's now won 6 of 8. They get to 6-4 on the season after an 0-2 start. And, well, Burrow, 24 of 39 for 355, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked twice. On a day where quarterbacks really did not have stats, mostly, his was one of those that stood out. T. Higgins was everywhere, 9 for 148. And P. Ryan, man, 11 carries for 30 yards, but 4 catches for 52 yards and 3 touchdowns. P. Ryan had 3 receiving touchdowns in 69 career games entering yesterday. Bengals were -2 in turnovers and still overcame the -2 to win. So maybe that's the key, that they, even with -2 in turnovers, they were still able to overcome and win this football game against your Steelers. And there's Tennessee. They play Tennessee. Tennessee on extra rest. Tennessee played Thursday night, of course, against the Packers. Ryan Tannehill, in case you forgot, 22 of 27 for 333, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 3 times. Remember, that was a game where Green Bay's defense just made no sense. Tannehill could just throw it around the yard with ease. Derrick Henry, 28 for 87. Treylon Burks, 7 catches for 111. And Hooper, 4 catches for 36 and 2 touchdowns. Cincinnati at Tennessee, that's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
The 6-4 Bengals, the 7-3 Titans, which I suppose we can already say has playoff implications in the AFC. I split the difference between the pick 'em and the 3. I said Tennessee -1.5.
I don't quite like your number better, but I think you're on the right track. I made the game pick 'em. I think Tennessee's still underrated. You know, I mean, the whole team, I think, is just underrated. But the number is Cincy 1 or 1.5. I even saw it open 2 in a couple spots, although it did come down. I'm going to open 1 because there is a lot of 1.5 out there. But I'm going to open Cincy 1. But, you know, again, it's kind of close. I made the game pick 'em. I'm not saying I'd run to the window to take the 1.5. But I think pick 'em's a good number on this game. I am going to open 1 just because I see it mostly higher, almost all 1.5. I see 1-1 out there. But I'm going to open at 1. But I'm not sure why they should be a home dog.
So that's the third week in a row now that I've had a different team favorite. Again, first nine weeks of the season, that went swimmingly well. Last 2 weeks, Seattle-Tampa Bay and then Minnesota-Dallas, not so much. So I don't want to be too outraged by this line. Who did you have favorite here, Kelly?
I had it about the line it opened.
Okay.
You know, Bengals slight favorite. I think the Titans are a fake good team again this year, but
it's 2 years going with going for another number one seed. That fake good team.
Fake good team.
It reminds me of the Megapod in, was it 2013 when Seattle won it all? Where VR the entire season. I love VR. He's gonna be on the pod. He's gonna be on the Megapod this week, by the way, everybody. For those who missed VR, VR is gonna be our special guest this week on the Megapod. But that whole year he's like, they're a fraud. You know, he just to the end. He just drove it into the wall at the end.
Yeah, it'll be me this year. Yeah. I'm not betting it, though. I'm not betting it, Gil. I think the number is
they
is
just
fair
keep figuring out ways to win games.
The coaching mismatch here is off the page.
Yeah. I think that's huge.
All right, what's next?
Texans at Dolphins, 1 Eastern.
Well, the Texans starting to run away with the worst record in the NFL market. 1-8-1 now. Dolphins were idle. Dolphins had a bye. They're 7-3. I mean, this has got to be double digits. Kendall Fuller yesterday with a pick six for Washington, 144 into the game off Davis Mills, 7-0 Washington, and they were off to the races. Houston had a 4th-and-3 at the Washington 15 with 12:30 left in the third quarter. They were down 20-0 at that point. Mills converted on the ground. The drive ended in a field goal. That was basically to prevent the shutout. The rest of it was cosmetic in Washington's 23-10 win. Mills ended up 19 of 33 for 169, no touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 5 times, 5 carries for 10 yards and a touchdown. Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat each had 2 sacks for Washington. Here's what you need to know. First half of that Houston-Washington game, a 14-1 advantage for Washington in first downs. So Houston had 1 first down in the first half. Total yardage first half, 246-5. The Houston Texans had 5 yards in the first half. By the way, that was their second worst performance, total yards and a half, in franchise history. Meaning that there was a game at some point where they got fewer than 5 yards. That's the big takeaway there. By the way, passing yards, 164-1 in Washington's favor in the first half. 19-13-10-47 in time of possession. You get the point. For the entire game, Houston had 11 first downs, 148 total yards. If it weren't for the Jets, we'd be talking about this. Only 21 rushing yards. They were -2 in turnovers. Anyway, the chances to get the first pick in the draft for the Texans, by some models, 71% for Houston to get the number one pick in the draft now in the worst record. I'll say Miami -10.
My numbers come to 10.5. It would open even lower than that a little bit last night with 9.5 in a couple spots, but it's up to 12. I even see a 13 out there. Yeah. 11.
Wow.
I think it's a shade high, although the Miami defense is so bad that I think this back door is going to be wide open. And you talk about a cosmetic touchdown that they scored, that Houston scored yesterday. I could see something like that. And I'd like I always say, you can lose by double digits in this league and cover a big number and never have a chance to win the
game.
That's
right.
So I don't want to go too crazy with this. I think I'm going to open 12, though. I don't want to be rooting too hard for Houston that day. But I think the back door is going to be open here.
There are so many bad teams in this league. There are so many bad teams that have winning records. And by bad, I mean bad in quotes, that have winning records. And when Kelly and I do our top 10 in power rankings, it's never been as static as it has been this year. Week after week, there's so little movement. That's the real headline of this NFL season. Coming back, more guessing lines. Week 12, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Scott, New York Mess 16. After one segment, my bingo card's a little light. No, quote, much more than a producer, or I'm in a cocoon. I did knock off of the same ilk. Thank you, Chrissy, for bringing Juice on the Dog to the table, but Gil needs to pick it up or we may have a bingo carryover to next week. He also adds, I always wanted it to be a 2%er until Gil said 98% of his audience is awesome. That's very true. Mike Zhang, hell yeah. VR, Vegas Runner, and Gil back together on this week's Megapod. Get ready for some Moneyline Sprinkle. Yeah, that's the guest this week. Matt Brown was last week, Brent the week before, so we look forward to that. We do have a pro tip of the hour. Here, the first segment, or first hour of the show. Pro tip of the hour is really, you know, it's funny that we've gone all this time, Kelly, with the don't just bet the Vikings.
Harken back to last week.
Harken back, bingo Harken. Card. Because Kelly had one that said, just bet the Vikings.
Apparently, idiot, what a moron.
Apparently, we don't just bet the Vikings.
Fire anymore. That guy.
This is one that I'm surprised we've gone this long without saying, but we'll give your Uncle Jack the credit here. No NFL team is as good or as bad as they look the week before. And it's really a great sort of broad thing to remember because it speaks to recency bias. No NFL team is as good or as bad as they look the week before.
Two of those teams playing on Thanksgiving. The Vikings, who looked horrible, and Dallas, who looked fantastic.
That's right. It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on Visa across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for Visa Pro subscribers. Only at Visa.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Your book is also available, sir.
Yes, it is, yeah. And Adel Fossbu. And by the way, you can go to my Twitter timeline. You can order it right there on Amazon. Some people want to order it from BookLocker, who's my publisher. And as I've said last week, if you like the book, please leave a review. If you don't like the book, pretend you never heard of me.
Please don't write a single thing. That's great. By the way, we have screens on in the studio here. Kay Adams is just doing a commercial here. Kelly, you see Kay Adams shooting her shot at Shams the other day? You see that?
No.
Oh, you got to see that interview.
Kay Adams, that was Michael Corleone's wife.
Oh, wait. Is that her name, Kay Adams, from Good Morning Football? She used to be on Good Morning Football. What's her last name?
Yeah. No,
yeah, right. Kay Adams, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you got to watch that. Just outwardly shooting shots.
Don't check it out.
All right. Sunday morning, continue.
Okay, we are 1 o'clock Eastern. Bears and Jets.
Bears are 3-8. Jets are 6-4. The Bears lose yesterday to the Falcons. They were +2 in turnovers at the half. Pardon me, the Bears were. Yet they were tied with Atlanta. Why? Mainly because Cordarrelle Patterson went 103 yards to the house on a kickoff return for a touchdown. The ninth of his career. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a new National Football League record. And who knows if that'll ever be broken, given that the rules have largely legislated kickoff returns out of the league.
Yeah.
So Cordarrelle,
what was the return?
103 yards for a touchdown, yeah. The ninth of his career. Mm-hmm. The previous record holders, I'm going to try to do this off memory because I remember it from yesterday.
Multiple. Right?
No, there's two guys. Leon Washington of the Jets. And who was the other? It wasn't Devin Hester.
Not Devin Hester?
Dante
Elijah
Hall?
Pitts?
No. Oh, no. It'll come to me. But anyway, it was two guys. Anyway, he broke it.
Devin Hester still holds the record for all-time return touchdowns.
Correct. Punt and kickoff. That's right. But this was just...
And missed field goals.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, he has one missed field goal.
Yeah. Justin Fields in defeat. 14 of 21 for 153. One touchdown, one pick. He was sacked four times. 18 carries, 85 yards, and a touchdown. But per Matt Eberflus after the game, Fields was dinged in the shoulder. Will undergo tests. Unquote. He looked like he was in a lot of pain by the end of that game. Atlanta wins it by a field goal, 27-24 for the Bears. And then the Jets, we talked about them. But let's talk about the Jets more. Because this was epic in its absolute putrid nature. The Jets had 6 first downs, as we mentioned. 2 by penalty. They had 9 pass completions and 10 punts. 103 total yards. Let's try to look at this through other lenses. They didn't cross their own 35-yard line in the second half. They had 2 yards of offense in the second half and punted on all 7 possessions. They've now lost 14 straight versus New England, 12 straight at New England, including the playoffs. The last Jets quarterback to win at New England? Guesses?
Sanchez?
Brett Favre, my notes say. I believe that's how you pronounce
it. He played for the Jets.
Yeah, 2008.
That would have taken a lot of guesses.
That would have taken a lot of guesses. And again, for those who missed it, 26 seconds left, Braden Mann punts. Marcus Jones didn't punt it out of bounds. Marcus Jones returned it 84 yards for a touchdown with 9 seconds left. The closest you could get to a walk-off special teams touchdown, pretty much as you can. Mac Wilson Sr. blatantly blocking Justin Hardy in the back at about the 10-yard line. No call. First punt return
for... must have taken 3.5.
Oh, I had 3.5. Trust me.
That was... I know you were on the game. I didn't bet it. Let me be enraged for you for a second. How many... We sat here for 2 years on primetime action and would see punts go up.
Yes.
And it'd be like, oh, there's a flag, shocker. There's a flag, Gil.
You're
because
right.
Because there's a block in the back on every single punt in the NFL. It's stupid. It's a stupid rule. They should adjust it. But you got to call the rule how it's set in place. That's an obvious block in the back yesterday. And not a turning point in the game. A walk-off moment in the game. And if you have money on it, that really, really sucks.
You know what? You're right. Now I'm pissed. Because you're right. For 2 years, no, he's right. Because every show we came on there, we're like, hey, I used to say it was our gag
was
on the show.
It was a running joke.
I used to stop whatever, like Matt would be talking. I'd interrupt him and be like, hey, Kelly, look, there was a flag on a punt return. That was our joke going on. So this one, the league office, he approached from the side. That's why they didn't call it.
There was probably 1 to 6 more on the play. We just didn't see it.
But the reason that I'm not completely outraged, and by the way, not only did I lose money, I lost the contest with it too, is because I felt like the Jets shouldn't have even been anywhere close to in that game to begin with. So I was playing, but I would just like one of those games that I don't deserve to win to go my way.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. I needed anything but a New England by 3. So I saw that right away.
Exactly
what is this guy doing? Clipping the guy. He's gone. And I think, well, now New England's going to line up and kick a field goal. It's going to come 3. I thought it was a great no call.
From the play perspective, it's exactly what Chris just said. Like, what are you even doing putting yourself in that position?
Yeah.
You know, Kelly, really, and I've been saying this for probably the last 20 years. When I see them punting, if it's even close, fair catch the ball and go from there.
Right.
Because there's way more penalties. The downside is way greater than the upside.
We talked about Cordarrelle Patterson. We just had our first punt return for a touchdown this season.
Yeah,
that's the first one of the season.
Yeah. And one other thing about this game. You see the Zach Wilson press conference afterwards?
Oh, man.
Both Wilsons were interesting after the game.
Well, Zach Wilson refusing. Yes, they were. Zach Wilson refusing to accept blame, right? Has the offense used up? Oh, no.
Well,
strikes me as a young kid who thinks he's a little smarter than he is right there.
Yeah. Well, I've been very fortunate in life in many ways. One is I've been running a sports book since I'm 25 years old. I'm 66 now.
Wow. Good run.
I would tell you right now, when it comes down, take the blame. You're going to get it anyway.
Yes.
Take it. Be a man. Do as well as you can to fix whatever's wrong. You're going to get the blame. Just take it. And a quarterback is kind of like in that position.
And Garrett Wilson, to Kelly's point, all too happy to passively aggressively point the finger as like, oh, yeah, we got to do it. Like, he was visibly frustrated on the field.
Yeah.
And then he, without really saying it, was like, yeah, here's what his thought bubbles was saying. Yeah, our quarterback sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, there is a difference, though, right? It's the... You at least had to read in between the lines on that.
Yes.
Right? Like, Garrett Wilson didn't throw his quarterback under the bus.
He did not.
And what Chris is saying is, right, I think it comes with the job. If you're the quarterback, you can't sit there and say the offense stinks and then not take blame for yourself, right?
100%.
It always starts with you.
100%.
I mean, it's not like we put up 17 and, you know, no. They put up 3. They had 2 yards the second half. It is the offense's fault. You're the quarterback. You have to do what you can to fix it.
Like I said, the Texans don't take the heat because the Jets did so badly on offense, right? Otherwise, we'd be talking about how bad the Texans were. Anyway, Chicago at the Jets. What a dreck game, even though the Jets are 6-4. But I'll say the Jets -4.5.
Yeah, you're a little light at 6. And,
whoa.
And that's exactly what my numbers come to.
We got to see about Justin Fields.
But we'll talk about that. Okay.
We got to see about Justin Fields. You think it's too high?
I think it's too high, but I hate this Bears offense that they're running. I mean, it's run. You know, they're using Justin Fields like he's Red Grange, you know, like running out of
Red Grange.
Who had that on their bingo card today? Who had Red Grange?
That's awesome.
Take that for your free spot.
How many people immediately had a leather helmet pop into their brains? All right, we'll come back. More guessing lines. It's the National Football League. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube, TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. Chrissy and I have done guessing lines for over a decade now, I believe it is. Is it over a decade? Close to a decade.
I think we started in 2012.
So a decade exactly. Yeah. And shout out to Tim Lawson, who does the podcast The Better Life. Tim is awesome. And he has really lovingly, and I love Tim back for this, has lovingly culled old story times that Chris used to tell on the Beating the Book podcast, which sort of was the inspiration for Chris's first book, Then One Day, where he then fleshed them out even more in print. But he was able to put it, because in tribute to the World Cup, which, by the way, Senegal is taking on the Netherlands now. Someone get Georgie Bueno on the phone quick to find out which anthem was sung more passionately. But he, in tribute to the World Cup, brought back and tweeted out the what is, yeah. what is nil story?
How many is nil?
How many is nil?
How many is nil?
It's just a great story.
A true story. And if you actually knew the guys involved, it's so hilarious.
That's so great. Anyway, it's on, we retweeted it in case you want to see, listen to that after the show. But a little World Cup inspired story time later on, or on the web, on, I should say, on Twitter, that we retweeted from Tim's The Better Life feed. Twitter, by the way, still alive, last we checked.
Surprisingly.
Should be pointed out. Oh, who did Cordarrelle Patterson, whose record did he break for the most kickoff return touchdowns in the history of the National Football League? I could come up with Leon Washington. I couldn't come up with a second name. And thanks to Primetime on Twitter at Cowboys_Cubs1, Josh Cribbs. That was the other guy. Josh Cribbs. Remember
wow.
him? He had 8 kickoff returns for a touchdown, too.
Josh Cribbs.
Yeah.
Wow. I remember Joe Cribbs. Are they related? Got to be related.
I believe Josh Cribbs was his son.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Joe Cribbs, a terrific player.
For the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. Great in the USFL, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Who was the other one?
Josh Cribbs and Leon Washington.
Leon Washington? Like the old
Jets.
Florida State running back? Jets. He was on the Jets. Yeah. I didn't know he had that many kick returns.
Oh yeah, he was always taking it back 100 yards. It was really amazing. There's so many great. Like, it's such a lost thing now that they've legislated out generally kickoff returns in the NFL in the interest of safety, where it just doesn't exist anymore. Really, in the same way that it used to. Punt returns. Rarely a punt return happens. Obviously, we had one yesterday with the Patriots. But the art of that in the NFL, I miss so much.
Yeah, I miss the onside kick, too, the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Just that mad scramble.
Do you remember during the Joe Gibbs years in Washington? Sorry, everybody. Mike Nelms.
Yeah.
So Mike Nelms was the, you know how they did the all-80s teams and the all-90s teams? Mike Nelms was the kickoff and punt returner for the all-80s team in the Associated Press. Every time he touched the ball, and he had no speed. Right, he was slow as could be, but he just had a knack of. He just knew instinctively how guys were going to go by him, what cuts he could make, and every time he touched the ball, you just knew it was a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed that part of football. Obviously, Deion Sanders was as great as they came. He just didn't do it forever, but he was amazing. Also,
I'll throw out a name for my old Pittsburgh guys, Randy Ruderschan.
Oh, wow.
Was on the early Steeler teams as Chuck Knoll started turning them into Super Bowl contenders. I don't know if he ever actually won a Super Bowl. I think he might have done a horrible car accident and was never the same after that.
Oh, wow.
Randy Ruderschan, a Pittsburgh kid, played for Pitt, wound up with the Steelers, was their kick returner, had a great year or two, and then was in that auto accident and was never the same.
The kickoff returner that I think I was introduced to as a child that made it sexy, Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, he was
of the
terrific.
Houston Oilers. Yeah. Well, and then the Atlanta Falcons later with his dance after he would score, too. What kind of career would he have these days? Probably not much of one with the way this has been legislated out of the game. All right, Kelly, continuing in the early window. No buys this week, right?
That is correct. We
buys are done, I think, right?
No, they're not done.
Oh, they're not
they
done?
They just take this week off, with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because they get all the Thanksgiving games. 1 o'clock Eastern, Falcons at Commanders.
So Falcons, we didn't talk much about them, but they beat the Bears 27-24. Again, the Cordarrelle Patterson kickoff return for a touchdown was huge in this game because the Bears were +2 in turnovers in the first half, but it was tied when they went to the locker rooms. Mariota, 13 of 20 for 131. One touchdown, no picks, was not sacked. Patterson, 10 for 52, but as we mentioned, his 9th ever kickoff return in NFL record for a touchdown. The Falcons were only 2 of 9 on third downs. They were outgained 288 to 280. They were out time of possession 35-10 to 24-50 and figured out a way to beat the Bears. They're 5-6. They're a half game out of the NFC South lead behind the 5-5 Buccaneers. And then Washington, we talked about them beating Houston. First half, 14-1 advantage in first downs, 246-5 advantage in total yards. That's right, 5. 164 to minus one advantage in passing yards in the first half, 19-13 to 10-47 in time of possession. Taylor Heinicke, 15 of 27 for 191. No touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. Washington was plus two in turnovers. And after the game, Ron Rivera, when asked directly about who's going to start, Taylor Heinicke is your starter moving forward. There will be no controversy. Rivera saying they're going to take it one game at a time, but when asked why, he said winning. Taylor Heinicke's 4-1 as Washington starter this year. Carson Wentz is 2-4. And by the way, Heinicke should probably be 5-0 through a bad pick against the Vikings. I'm going to say Washington minus 3.5. And are you ready for this? I think they're making the playoffs.
I think you might be right.
And I think they're going to finish with a better record than the Giants.
I think you might be right again. I made the game 5.5. It's 3 with juice on the favorite, 3.5 juice on the dog. Kind of a split right now. I'm going to open it 3.5. If I go in here needing Washington, I'm fine with that. Taylor Heinicke, I don't think he's very good, but he's playing really good. That's a hard one to evaluate sometimes because long term, I don't think he's the answer, but he is playing pretty good football right now. And I think this team believes in him. And I think they're playing well behind them. I think the defense is playing well. And Atlanta was another team with some smoke and mirrors early in the season, covering a lot of numbers, not always winning games. But I think it's kind of caught up to them a little bit. I mean, I like Washington in this game. If you could lay 3, I would lay 3 in this game.
The thing about both these teams, like Atlanta's 5-6 and Washington is 6-5. Like those are good records for really mediocre football teams.
Yeah, they are.
But Washington, they care, man. That team, they have a certain it factor to them.
I took a big whack this last week. Somebody bet me on Washington to win the NFC and made a pretty decent-sized bet. I let him bet it. He's a regular customer of mine. But right after he bet it, I said, you know what? He might have the best of me on this one. You know, I think he got a pretty good price. I forget what price he took, but he got a pretty good price. And I'm like you. I think they got a really good chance of making the playoffs. Then the guy's in a good hedging position.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. They're the proverbial team you don't really want to play in the playoffs either.
I always liked Rivera, even, you know, from going back to his Bears days. You know, I think he's a pretty good coach.
Got great players on defense. All right, Kelly, what's next?
Broncos at Panthers, 1 Eastern.
Trying to think, what do I like best so far? I kind of like Washington, even though my number was what it was. And if the Jets are given 6, I might take the Bears. Denver at Carolina, you said?
Yeah. Should have done what you and Wyatt did to me last week with this game. The extra bonus for the total.
Oh. Oh, really? Denver loses to the Raiders. Oh, we got to talk about this. Nathaniel Hackett handed over play-calling duties to Clint Kubiak. Well, didn't matter in the end. Denver's lost 6 of 7 since their 2-1 start. The Broncos had a 7-play, 92-yard touchdown drive to start the game on offense to go up 7-0. And then that was kind of the highlight of the game at that point. You figured, well, Denver might run away with this. Nope. Broncos up 10-7. Here's the key sequence of the game, in my opinion. Well, key till the end. But this will get lost. Late first half, Broncos are up 10-7. They have it 2nd and 2 at the Raiders' 4-yard line with 41 seconds left. They get 1 yard on 2nd down. They fumble on 3rd down, but recover it, and then have a 25-yard field goal blocked. Oh, that's when I knew I was going to get cooked. 2 minutes left in the game, up 16-13, and here's what I really want to get to. 2 minutes left, Broncos are up 16-13. The Raiders have no timeouts left, and the Broncos on 3rd and 10, instead of running 40 seconds, running the ball and at least ensuring 40 seconds will get run off the clock, they call a pass play and it's incomplete, which gives the Raiders 40 seconds extra to work with. What are you doing, Hackett and crew? I know he's not calling the plays, but I'm blaming him.
Yeah.
So what do the Raiders do? 7-yard pass to Hollins, 21 to Keelan Cole, 43 to Josh Jacobs, 32 seconds left. They're at the Denver 7. Then incomplete intended for Moreau, incomplete to Jacobs, incomplete to Adams. So they have to settle for the Carlson 25-yarder to tie it. We're going to overtime. Raiders might have won it in regulation. By the way, before the game, Nathaniel Hackett said, both teams are struggling, but somebody's got to win this game. And when it went to overtime, you're like, maybe not. Well, the Raiders, they were the team that won it because they won the coin toss that went right downfield. 3 plays, Carr to Moreau for 33, Carr to Adams for 35, touchdown 22-16, good night. By the way, the other Broncos gaffe, besides not running the ball at the 2-minute mark, when the Raiders got it down to the 7-yard line with 32 seconds left, I turn my head away and start taking notes. I assumed that the Raiders spiked the football. No, the Broncos called a timeout. What are you doing? This guy has no idea what he's doing.
No, he does not.
Russell Wilson ended up 24 of 31 for 247, one touchdown pass or fewer in 8 of his 9 starts. And once again, if the Broncos had scored 18 points in regulation in all the games this season, they'd be 9-1. And Carolina loses to Baltimore 13-3. They were outscored 10-0 by Baltimore in the fourth quarter. Carolina only had 13 first downs and 205 total yards, 36 rushing. They were -2 in turnovers, and Baker Mayfield's 1 of 5 straight up this season as a starter. It's a pick 'em. What else can it be?
It's 2.5 Denver everywhere.
Ooh.
My numbers come to 1.5. You know, I do see a 2 out there. I don't want to mess with this game, so I'm going to open 2.5. But a gun to my head, I'd probably take the money line on Carolina. You know, rather than taking the points, I'd probably take the money line.
I'd have been surprised if either team was favored by 2.5. Denver's favored by 2.5.
Denver 2.5. Really, I see 1-2 out there, but other than that, it's all 2.5.
Hackett's worth 2-point deduction. Coming back, guessing lines.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada here live at the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. Hey, don't forget, you don't have to wait until Turkey Day to score a Black Friday deal with VSiN. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. With VSiN Pro Access, you get a daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive daily betting reports, plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. The VSiN store is a great place to shop for VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, it's a limited time Black Friday offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. What goes on in this studio where my right nostril gets stuffed up now? What's going on? Maybe a barometric pressure analysis done in the studio.
Know. There's pressure issues. There's dust, probably. Who
dust? Oh, but let's go back real quick to that Carolina Denver game. So Denver's favored by 2.5. I really meant what I said. I guess to pick them, and I really meant what I said right before the break, which is, I don't, you know, in your handicapping, do you add or deduct points for coaching? Like for many years, Bill Belichick mattered. Where I'm not sure he doesn't anymore, but I'm just saying, you had modelers who were like, oh, you got to bet against the Patriots. You're like, yeah, don't do that. It's Belichick. Nathaniel Hackett, literally, those two decisions late in that football game, malpractice yesterday. Absolute malpractice. I had, of course, not only did I have the Jets, I had Denver too. So when you say, you know,
figured that.
Yeah, listen, the NFL will humble you. And so the Plinko chip is just not going in my direction these last couple weeks, but I had Denver, and I just think Denver being favored by 2.5 is awfully interesting. What was the total again, Kelly? You teased that?
A whopping 35.
35. I ended up going under on the Iowa-Minnesota, by the way. Under 31.5. Got home.
That was easy.
All right.
Ready for the next one?
Yes, sir.
Ravens at Jags. Still in the early window.
So Ravens beat the Panthers 13-3. Hardly riveting. A 157-63 advantage in total yards in the first half yesterday, and the Ravens led 3-0 going into the break. Ravens defense, 4 sacks, 3 takeaways, 205 total yards allowed, we mentioned, against the Panthers. Lamar Jackson, 24 of 33 for 209. No touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 3 times, 11 carries for 31 yards and a touchdown. Not exactly a masterpiece. You know what his record is against the NFC lifetime? Lamar Jackson?
No idea.
15-1. I don't know what any of that means, but he's 15-1 against the NFC. DeMarcus Robinson, 9 catches for 128. Ravens did have 10 penalties for 93 yards. They were +2 in turnovers. That was the main thing. And they eke out the win. Baltimore at Jacksonville. Jacksonville was idle. As we mentioned, Minnesota 8-2 with a -2 point differential. Jacksonville 3-7 on the year with a +11 point differential. I said Baltimore -3 on the road at Jacksonville.
It's 4. Again, like a blanket everywhere, 4. I don't see a one variable. When my numbers come higher, you know, and even when I'm, you know, really, when I do the power ratings, my initial, it's addition and subtraction. Well, subtraction most. And it came to 6. And I'm looking at that as a man, I don't know if I could trust Baltimore -6 against anybody.
Hails no.
So I'm going to open 4. I think that's okay. I'm not sure the Jacksonville is not the right side. I always say power ratings is just a place to start.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get married to your power ratings. You have to look at the situation. Jacksonville coming off a bye. Baltimore, you know, I don't know. I mean, boy, they probably going to win that division, I guess, but they're not that good of a team. I really don't think so.
Yeah, and yet, like, can they be power ranked like worse than sixth or seventh? Probably not.
I went through my numbers, and like I said, I have a grading system that helps me with my power ratings.
Yeah,
and I think that's the right number.
No, I agree with you though. Like, you know, they're literally the sixth or seventh best team to be in the NFL, maybe even higher. We'll see what the power rankings come into, and yet they're not that good.
Yeah,
and that game, like we said this earlier about Tampa Bay Cleveland, or at least I did. Tampa Bay Cleveland as a game, I'd want no part of. Baltimore Jacksonville, I want no part of that either.
Yeah,
well, there's a couple I don't want any part of. How about the Denver game? You know,
yeah. Although if Denver's a 3-point favorite, I may take Carolina.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure it's going to get to three. Yeah. But okay, maybe.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, I don't want to bet it. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine watching that game without a bet.
Oh God. Ronnie Stanley, keep an eye on him if you're looking at Baltimore this week. He did leave that game injured. Important left tackle there for Baltimore. The other one that's weird with Lamar and the Ravens, right? He missed his practice on Friday because he's got a stomach bug. Like, this happens all the time with him. It's very odd.
It is strange.
Chargers at Cardinals, finally in the late window, 4:05 Eastern time.
I said that a lot yesterday. I was like, could you imagine if you didn't have a bet on these games this yesterday in the NFL? Oh. I was like, these would be unwatchable.
Yeah.
Especially juxtaposed against how great college football was on Saturday with bets. Chargers at Arizona. Arizona has not played yet. They play the Niners tonight again. Colt McCoy appears to be the quarterback now for the Cardinals in tonight's game at Mexico City. So we don't have anything on the Cardinals, who are 4-6. But the Chargers fall to 5-5. Wow. Chargers 5-5. They lose to the Chiefs last night. This was a good football game. Herbert, yes. 23 of 30 for 280. Two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked five times. Joshua Palmer, 8 for 106 and two touchdowns. Boy, Mike Williams was ready to play this game. He played. He got hurt almost immediately again. High ankle sprain. Chargers led 20-13 at the half. Got the ball to start the second half. So that was like a big thing. They had a virtual 2-for-1 opportunity there. End of first half, beginning of second half. Couldn't pull it off, though. Chiefs took the first lead of the second half on the first play of the fourth quarter. Mahomes to Kelce for 32. It was Kelce's second touchdown of the game. Chiefs led it 23-20. 10:18 left. Chargers down 23-20. First and 10 at the Kansas City 43. Keenan Allen tackled by Nick Bolton. Fumbles recovered by Frank Clark. And you're like, oh man, Chiefs are going to matriculate the ball down the field and ice this. But six plays into the Chiefs' ensuing drive, Jerick McKinnon hit by Troy Reader. Fumble recovered by Alohi Gilman. And the Chargers are in business. Six plays later, 3rd and 18 at their own 38. 3:53 left, still down 23-20. Herbert deep to Allen for 46. Four plays later, Allen to Palmer for 6. Touchdown. Chargers lead it 27-23. 1:46 left. Way too much time.
Way too much time.
Way too much time for Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs start with 1:46 left, two timeouts. Six play, 75-yard drive. Easy peasy, beautiful cover girl. Was that easy breezy? What was that? America's Next Top Model. Never mind. We used to bet on that back in the day.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Mahomes to Kelce for 17, his third touchdown of the game. 30-27 Kansas City with 31 seconds left. Chargers had the ball at their own 25. But on the second play, Herbert picked by Nick Bolton off the deflection. Ball game. Chiefs do it again. Every Chiefs-Chargers game is like a mini classic. Chargers at Arizona. Sight unseen with the Cardinals. I'll say Chargers minus 4.5 on the road.
I don't quite like your number better. It's 3.5. I still see a 3 out there. This game opened a little lower last night. So a lot of money on the Chargers and a lot of money against Arizona tonight, too.
Oh,
so I'm thinking those two things are clearly related. My numbers only come to 2, but as I see these numbers here, like, once again, power rating is just a place to start. I've been anti-Cardinals really for a couple years now. I think the 3.5 is okay. That's where I'm going to open it. But boy, I look at this Charger team, and I hope they don't waste Herbert's career.
Oh,
and sometimes I think that might be the case. Can I give you one more example?
Please.
The Miami University coach, which is named Cristobal.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal.
That team is totally quit, by the way, Miami. You know, yeah. But when he was a coach at Oregon, he made Herbert look mediocre.
It was the who could stop Michael Jordan, Dean Smith.
Yeah,
right. Was the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Same thing with Justin Herbert, Mario Cristobal.
He should have had a much much better college career. Although he's proven it now, boy, this kid is really good.
So, the one thing I do want to say for tonight's game. So, are you saying that the difference between Kyler Murray and Colt McCoy actually is a difference at all?
It's certainly the perception. I personally don't believe that myself. I really don't. But I'm telling you, the perception and where the money has flowed. Flown or flowed? Flowed. The money flowed against the Cardinals for tonight's game, and it flowed against them for next week's game as well.
Want to squeeze in one here, Kelly?
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Raiders at Seahawks, 4:05 Eastern.
All right, Raiders get that win in overtime. Daniel Carlson's streak of 41 consecutive field goals made, snapped. Missed a 46-yarder early in the second quarter. He was three shy of the NFL record, Adam Vinatieri's 44 in a row. Derek Carr ended up 23 of 37, 307 against the Broncos, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Joshua Jacobs, 24 for 109 on the ground, 3 for 51, pass catching. Devontae, 7 for 141, two touchdowns, including the game winner, wide open in overtime. 9 penalties for 98 yards, though, for the Raiders, staple of their franchise history. Against the Seahawks, who are idle and still remain atop the NFC West. The 3-7 Raiders, 6-4 are Seahawks. I'll say no man's land, Seahawks by 5.5.
It's 4 pretty much everywhere. I got to tell you, my numbers, and again, a little high.
Only 4, huh?
But my numbers come to 7.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd like Seattle there.
I think that's, I'm going to probably open this. Let's put me down for a 4.5. I think I'll take a bet on them. Raiders just keep finding, they didn't find the way to lose yesterday, but they didn't play very well. I mean, let's be honest.
They should have lost many times.
Yeah, I mean, and then the Seahawks team, I keep rating them higher and higher every week. I think they are really, really good. And, this is one of those old rivalry games, and I think I like the Seahawks in this game. I think that number's too cheap.
Coming off a bye.
Yeah, coming off a bye.
I like it. All right, we're in the afternoon window. More to get to. I got to start writing down what I like here. We'll cull those together. Week 12 in the National Football League with 3 Thanksgiving games. More to come. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VEASAN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way. VEASAN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VEASAN.com. By the way, Chrissy, we didn't do a good enough job with your book. Where can people get your book?
Amazon. And they can find the link. It's my pinned tweet. Go to Andrew Sports is my Twitter handle. And there's a pinned tweet there, and you can order it right through Amazon.
All right.
Great Christmas gift.
Andrew Sports is your Twitter.
Andrew Sports. Two S's in the middle there.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. The James Floyd. Sorry if I missed it. I was walking my turtle. Okay. Did you mention that the Vikings-Cowboys game was taken down to show a more competitive game? And ladies and gentlemen, here's Kenny Pickett.
Oh, God, yeah, it was.
It's amazing.
There is nothing, you got embarrassed when you get taken off national TV.
Yeah.
It is we're going to go to another game now.
Ooh.
Still in the third quarter.
It was in the third quarter.
Bruce Dobigan letting us know that after the Grey Cup game.
Grey Cup.
Someone was interviewed, and they dropped 2 true F-bombs, and Bruce Dobigan ends up by saying, that's why the CFL is special, Gil.
We had a rouge early yesterday. Quarterback sneaks for touchdowns.
Yeah, I know. At one point, it was 6-4.
4-0.
4-0, then 6-4 off a quarterback sneak, Gil. Designed QB sneak from 2 yards out, shoving in the back. Great football. I loved it yesterday.
Shove it in the back? Is that what you said?
Yeah, guys shoving him in the back, the bush push.
I was like, I didn't know that was a play call. Asian Lebowski, talking about our kick returner, punt returner nostalgia. He says, Mel Gray.
Yeah.
Guy would have been disqualified after 2 returns in today's game because as soon as he caught it, he was either going all the way or getting knocked out. You know what my Mel Gray memory is?
No.
I was a little, it was like one of the first football games I can remember. The St. Louis Cardinals against the Washington football team. Skins back in the day. At St. Louis. Mel Gray in the end zone last second from Jim Hart on, let's just say, a quote-unquote catch that would have been quickly deemed an incomplete pass today. They gave it to him. And I just remember everyone around me in utter, like half were sad and half were just cursing at the TV. One of my great childhood memories. Mel Gray. Not great, but you know what I mean. Phil Weiss. Take it easy on the commodes, Gil. He said I was going to. I think he thinks I'm getting too excited. They're going to win the next 14 Super Bowls. That's what my number says, Phil. That's what
I
said.
By the way, a lot of money showing on them this morning.
As it should be.
Yeah.
I like him there. Dave Maggard. Did Chrissy Andrews just say Ron Rivera is a good coach? Probably should check his blood alcohol level. Not happy with your assessment.
I haven't had a drink in a few hours. No. Probably weeks, to be honest with you.
All in 216. Broncos lost to the Chargers 19-16 and Raiders 32-23, so would actually have had to score at least 20 points each game to be 9-1, but the point is still valid, he says. No, in regulation, sir. If the Broncos had scored 18 points in all of their games in regulation,
yeah,
they would be 9-1.
Yeah, including yesterday.
That's right. Len Glauzenski, Gil Hackett should not be called coach anymore. He has no clue. He probably doesn't even know the score of the game. Hey, he's bad. And we go on and on. We'll get to it. We got to get some games. What's next?
Rams at Chiefs, 4:25 Eastern.
Oh, boy. Well, we said this about Survivor. If you can get through Thanksgiving, next Sunday is kind of the free bingo square with some of these games. This is one of them. Rams again lose to, we didn't mention this, Rams lost to the Saints. How much of that game did you watch, Kelly? The Rams-Saints game.
I don't know. Probably a couple minutes that were shown on Red Zone.
27-20, Saints win it. The Rams were down 10-7. They had a 4th-and-2 at the New Orleans 34 with 5:29 left in the second quarter. They went for it and they failed. But after a 3-and-out for New Orleans ensued, an 11-play, 87-yard drive. Stafford passing for all but 9 of those yards. Stafford to Robinson for 6, 14-10 Rams. They didn't score again until the fourth quarter. Part of that reason was that Matt Stafford had to leave the game. Matthew Stafford had to leave the game in the third quarter, back in concussion protocol. Kelly, what did I say all last week? Kelly Stafford's got to be like, we got to stop this. We got to stop this. You won a Super Bowl. We have all the money in the world. You might be in the Hall of Fame. What are we doing?
I'm wondering how much of a mass exodus we see from the Rams team this offseason. Is it McVay to the TV booth? Stafford retirement?
Ugh. They sold out for it. They got it.
Yeah.
This is what you should expect in the aftermath, I guess.
Yeah.
Bryce Perkins played the rest of the way from UVA. I remember betting on him in college a whole bunch of times. Stafford ended up 11 of 18 for 159. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Perkins, 5 of 10 for 64. He was sacked 3 times, though. And then there's Kansas City, who we just talked about, beating the Chargers last night. Where do we start and begin with the Chiefs' superlatives? They've now won 25 straight games in November and December. We just let that marinate for a second. They have won 25 straight football games in November and December.
It's insane.
Oh.
What about his division? We just take Mahomes for granted.
It's like Patrick Mahomes is good at football.
What about his division stat?
Mahomes has never lost a road division game.
Never! Like, he's not in his second year anymore.
Insane. It's, what is it, 14-0, I believe it is?
I think that's what it is.
So it's 14-0. The only longer streak of beating division teams on the road, Joe Montana, in the Niners' heyday, went 20-0. But that's the Niners, who won 5 Super Bowls, 4 with Joe. This is Mahomes, 14-0, never lost. 14-0 to begin his career. By the way, he was 20 of 34 for 329, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Pacheco, Isaiah Pacheco, Isaiah Von Wrinkel Pacheco, 15 for 107. Kelsey, 6 for 115, 3 touchdowns, 485 total yards of offense. And as we mentioned, they got the ball with 146 left, had to go the whole field down 4. Easy peasy for Mahomes and company. This has got to be more than 2 touchdowns. I said 14.5 just to start.
You're dead on.
Am I?
14.5.
Bam.
Everywhere. My numbers come to 13.5.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's more by game time.
I was just going to say, my numbers come to 13.5, but I do not want to mess with this team. I might not realize exactly how terrible the Rams are. I mean, I know how good Kansas City is. That's not a surprise. But I might not realize exactly how horrible this Rams team is. Because that was another team. By the way, big steam on the Rams yesterday. That was one of our few good games.
Well, if Stafford played the rest of the way, you never know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But that was big steam. I'll tell you a little bit more about that afterwards. Big steam on that game. We were fortunate to win that one. But, boy, I do not want to mess with this team right now. They are really, really bad. It's hard to believe they won a Super Bowl a few months ago.
It is amazing. It is amazing to think. The Rams beat the Bengals. I asked this of somebody earlier in the year. I don't know if it was Drew Dinsick or somebody else. Maybe it was Eric Eager. It was Eric Eager. And I said, do you think we'll look back at the Rams-Bengals Super Bowl yeah. as this like historical one-off anomaly? And he was like, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the Bengals got so rabbit's footy that whole playoff yeah. to get there too. I don't know if they're getting back this year.
Yeah, beat the Chiefs, you know. 7-point dog, they beat the Chiefs last year. More than 7-point dog.
Think about the Bengals' offense is still great, though. But the Rams, good God.
Yeah.
You were saying you were going to tell me more afterwards, meaning off air?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's do one more.
Saints at 49ers, 425 Eastern time.
All right, so the Saints win that game against the Rams. Dalton, so that was the thing. They decided, Dennis Allen and the Saints said, no, we're not going to Jameis. We're staying with Andy Dalton, which I did not think was going to happen. But he announced it earlier in the week. At least he announced it. And then Dalton goes 21 of 25 for 260, 3 touchdowns, no picks, sacked 3 times. I stand corrected, Dennis Allen. Olave, 5 for 102 and a touchdown. So the Saints get to 4-7, and they're playing the Niners, who again haven't played yet. They play tonight at Mexico City against the Cardinals. The Niners are 5-4. If the NFC playoffs were to begin right at this very moment, this just in, it does not. But if it did, the Niners would be the last team in at 5-4. They're 10-point favorites tonight against the Cardinals. As far as against the Saints next week, I'll say 7.5 as a placeholder.
My numbers came to 8. It's 8 or 8.5 everywhere. I'll open 8 with my power rating number. By the way, Andy Dalton had the second best QBR in the league yesterday, only to Dak Prescott.
So we're never seeing Jameis again, huh?
Not right now. You ain't seeing them. I can tell you that because Andy's playing okay, and they're winning a few games, and they're right in the playoff hunt. Actually, you know, I'm even for the division, I guess. Yeah, really.
Jeez.
I mean, Jameis could have done the same thing yesterday. We'll never know.
That's right. We'll never know. There's no way you can prove otherwise. During this commercial break, because we've got 2 more games to get to. We have a prime time game to get to. But during this commercial break, I'm gonna have to go back and list the teams I like the most, because there's a bunch of these this week.
Yeah, there's a couple. I got 3 marked on my sheet.
Yeah, we'll write these down. Kelly, you do the same. You know, in between that Excel sheet where you're getting everybody's VSiN store orders. Get down the games you like the best, and we'll get those after the break. We still have the Sunday night game and the Monday night game to get to. Right now, scoreless between Senegal and the Netherlands, 38th minute. You have anything on this?
No,
I got nothing. The one game where I was like, should I play the under? And then I didn't play anything.
Really? Only I did U.S. to advance. It's the only thing I guess I have in action today.
Okay. I'm a little worried about our Paul Carr Iran advance past the group stage. Bets after that.
Yeah, that's one game they should have lost.
Yeah, sure. Is there any game they should win? Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. But I'm Ron Burgundying through the tweets right now. Maybe I shouldn't do that.
Careful.
Yeah, I'd be careful with it.
This is Gil. My handicapping always includes the head coach on all sports. It is key. Bad coaches always make bad decisions to affect the outcome. And the reverse is true with good coaches. Cashed many bets just using the coach handicapping strategy. That's from Lenny. Hey,
pro tip.
That leads right into our
pro tip.
Typing
that up right now.
It's your pro tip of the hour. We'll get to that a little later. But that's
a tip from Lenny.
Yeah. Basically, we'll give Lenny the shout there. Angriest Guy in New Jersey has a web burst of tweets. What do we call it? Tweet storm?
Yeah, tweet storm.
Yeah.
I only got one from him today, so.
Carl Neufeld. Staley, talking about Brandon Staley, showed his lack of nerve. Why wouldn't he run to the 1-yard line and take time while using another timeout? Very unanalytic. That's a good point. Where Brandon Staley, you could tell he was trying to figure out, well, let's try to run as much clock here. Obviously, with Mahomes on the other side. But you can only, I mean, I guess you can only be so precise about that. But I hear the sentiment, for sure. This is from Nevadazor. I want to pronounce that correctly. Nevadazor, who has both an American and Canadian flag. He says, mandatory handicapping deductions for Kingsbury, Hackett, Staley, Stefanski, Taylor. I agree with all those.
Yeah.
Boy, did Brandon Staley.
Taylor threw me a wild card one day. I thought he would really improve. Now I'm starting to see, not really.
Kenny G, Morning Gill is a longtime Giants fan. For me, the kick returner that I like to bring up is Homer Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Great show.
First end zone dance that I can ever remember.
What year was that?
Oh, God. 67, 68. Oh, yeah. Well, like
betting hombre, showing an old school picture. Guessing lines was a little bit different back in the 1960s. And on, we always appreciate the tweets. Tim Thompson, last one, he says, Gil, rightly say, show me the turnover battle or the NBA, show me the 3 points stat and I will show you the win. But the nostalgic kick return talk just reminds me that I feel similar about special team scores when teams get abnormal touchdowns equals positive win percentage.
Yeah, throw pick sixes in there, too.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we got the primetime games to get to, Kelly. What do we do?
Sunday night football next week as I take my time. Packers at Eagles.
Packers with the extra rest coming off their Thursday night defeat at the hands of the Titans at the 9-1 Eagles. By the way, Rodgers in that game against Tennessee was 24 of 39 for 227, two touchdowns, no picks. And he was sacked once. So Philadelphia, we didn't even talk about this game yet. Philadelphia, they were down most of the game against the Colts. They outscored the Colts 14-3 in the fourth quarter yesterday to get the win, to eke out the 17-16 win to advance to 9-1. It was the Eagles' first win in their franchise since 2010 when they trailed by 10-plus points entering the fourth quarter. First play from scrimmage, second half. Let's go through a little of this. Hurts was strip-sacked by Yannick Ngakoue. Recovered by Grover Stewart, it led to an Indianapolis field goal 13-3, and you started to think to yourself, wow, this could be the Eagles' second consecutive loss. Ensuing drive, down 13-3, 4th and 10 at the Indianapolis 39, 9:05 left third quarter, Hurts sacked by Ifeate Odenigbo, 8-yard loss, and the Colts had the ball again, but it's 13-3 at this point. They stop, the Eagles stop the Colts on a 3-and-out, but then a 3-and-out of their own, the Colts drive, ends in a missed McLaughlin 50-yard field goal attempt. So still 13-3 into the fourth quarter. Eagles with a 60-yard touchdown drive. Hurts to Watkins for 22, made it 13-10. Then the Colts, and here was the moment. 3rd and 1 at midfield. They're up 3. Jonathan Taylor gets the yard to gain. The pile moves him, and everyone's getting ready to praise how you can't bring down Jonathan Taylor, right? Oh, man, look at him. He won't go down. And as that pile's moving, the ball gets stripped by Marcus Epps. T.J. Edwards of the Eagles recover 3 plays later. 2nd and 4 at the Indianapolis 40, 9:43 left. Hurts to Brown, hit by Zaire Franklin, a fumble. Eric Johnson recovers for Indianapolis. You're like, okay. Once again, maybe it will happen for the Colts. Colts matriculate. Field goal. After squandering 1st and goal at the 5, so they only go up 16-10, it's open. The door is open for the Eagles to win, and they open that door, and they run right through it. I should say a drive aided by a 39-yard pass interference penalty really is what aided it. Eagles end up 4th and 2 at the Indianapolis 9 with 2 minutes left. Down 6, Hurts gains 3 yards. 3 plays later, Hurts untouched in from the 6. 1:20 left, 17-16 Philly. It holds. Hurts, 18 for 25 for 190, 1 touchdown, no picks, sacked 3 times, 16 carries for 86 yards, touchdown, fumble lost. I will say Eagles by 7 over the Packers.
You're pretty much dead on. I see a little bit of 7 with some juice on the favorite. I see a 7.5 with pretty heavy juice on the dog. Numbers come to 9 in this game. I got to tell you what I liked about the Eagles. They did not play well and still won.
That's right.
And I think Green Bay is just not very good. And, you know, we talked about they're not as bad as they looked the week before. Well, in this case, I think they might be. You know, well, they're pretty bad.
They've proven it over and over.
Yeah, right. When they keep losing, you know, yeah. I mean, the Vikings lost once. You know, the Packers have lost a bunch of them. I'm going to open 7.5 and take a shot here because the game opened 6 in a couple places last night, and it's gone up. And I think it continues to go up, especially being a night game on a holiday weekend. I mean, listen, I've been doing this a long time. There's a lot of chalk players going to be out over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a feeling I'm going to be rooting for the Packers in this game. I want to get ahead of this. I'm going to open 7.5, see what happens. But I do like the Eagles.
Do we think? Do you think, Kelly, Cowboys are going to be ahead of the Eagles in your power rankings this week?
Mm.
Will it finally happen? We'll see.
No, I got
a point difference.
One point difference. Yeah. In favor of Philly.
Favor of Philly.
Yeah. All right, last one, Monday night.
Monday night, we have the Steelers at Colts.
Oh,
I almost had
boy.
49ers at Cardinals, but that's tonight.
Steelers at Colts, that's a
thriller.
That's a thriller.
Buckle up.
Well, Chrissy.
I'll be watching.
You're 3-7 Steelers with their worst start since 2003.
You know, Mike Tomlin.
Is there anything you got on Mike Tomlin that we should know?
Never finished under 500 in a season.
Well, he's got to go. They've got to go 5-1-1 the rest of the way. Only the second game for the Steelers this year with 21-plus points, both against the Bengals. Pickett, 25 of 42 for 265, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. T.J. Watt, man, six tackles, half a sack, a pick. You see that pick?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Joe Burrow, like, stared at it, like, what just happened? And Pittsburgh was plus two in turnovers and still lost.
I don't know who was on the call and said it, but I completely agree. That might be one of the greatest interceptions you ever see, just because you don't see stuff like that. You don't see someone throw it right into the line.
For those who missed it, yeah, he just had his hands wide enough apart where when it was thrown right to him, somehow it stuck.
Like, at that point, that ball is traveling so fast right there, and to actually have the hand-eye coordination be able to pull that in, it's amazing.
And they play Indianapolis. Indianapolis is 4-6-1. Boy, they were so close to being 5-5-1 after all that they've gone through. Jeff Saturday's second game as head coach ends in defeat. Ryan, Matty Ice, 23 of 32 for 213, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked four times. Jonathan Taylor, 22 for 84, touchdown and a fumble loss. But really, if you break down Jonathan Taylor's 84 yards, 49 of them and his touchdown were on the first drive, 35 the rest of the game, 35 rushing yards. Ninth game this season with 20 points or fewer for the Colts, tied for the most in the NFL. Let me say that again. Ninth game this season with 20 points or fewer, tied for the most in the NFL. That's been their story. That said, the Colts should be four-point favorites against the Steelers.
I almost like your number better. I have to tell you, my numbers came to five. It's three everywhere.
I like so many games this week.
Yeah, I do too. I got to... A little respect that I have to give to the handicappers. You know, big steam yesterday on the Steelers. That was big steam. Mm. I mean, it was one of the few games we won. So I got to give some credit there. But I'm going to open three just because it's there. I even see a 2.5 with some. I see a couple 2.5s. Juice on a favorite. So I'm going to open three. I don't want to mess with the 3.5 just yet. But if I see it going up, I'm definitely going to go up.
Okay, I literally usually, and people know this for listening to this show for as many years. This might be the most games that are in play for me.
I got five games I'm rooting
for. I've got half the schedule.
Yeah, I got five.
So Detroit, if that gets to 10 against Buffalo. Dallas, if that gets down to 7 against the Giants. Then I like Minnesota. Chicago, if that game gets up to 6. I like Washington. Carolina, if that game gets up to 3 against Denver. And then I like Seattle and I like Indianapolis. Literally half the schedule.
I got Detroit.
Yeah.
Minnesota. Washington. Tampa, Seattle, and the Colts.
Oh my God, we match on five.
If that Vikings gets down to 2.5, I'll be in on them again. I made two bets last night. They're both unders. I bet under in the Eagles Packers game and under in Bucks Browns.
By the way, I'm not saying liking that many games translates to awesome.
Yeah, I like one dog. All the rest are favorites.
Might translate to the opposite.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.